RD Café.
It's during lunchtime, and we're sitting with the four of us at the dining table of Martina and Bas in Kigali, Rwanda. My name is Pieter-Jan van Mijngaarden, and I welcome Bas Jansen in your own house.
Thank you.
You're founder of Kyrus Rwanda.
Correct.
Florent, a consultant at Kyrus Rwanda, and Martina van Es, my colleague of Kessels & Smith, the learning company, who works at several organizations in Rwanda around the topic of autonomous teams. And we'll talk about how you build a team based on equality and ownership in a culture that is typically hierarchical. Welcome to you all. Bas, to start with you, what exactly is Kyrus Rwanda?
We are a consultancy company. We are helping our customers with planning and budgeting. Right now, we're focusing on the customers in Europe or US or EMEA, but yeah, we want to start also business, doing business in Africa.
Okay, cool. And you are a founder of this company. Tell us about it. When did you start it, and how did you do that?
I already work for a long time together with Maud and Aya 15 years ago at Finex, and they started up Southern International, and we were always in close contact. So when we moved to Rwanda, they asked me like, "Hey Bas, is it possible to start a new company over here?" In the meantime, Kyrus bought Sonem, so I was really enthusiastic to start it up.
So there was an invitation, so to say, to start it.
Correct,
yes.
Correct.
Yeah. But then you have to do it. And then you're here as a Dutch guy, totally new to Rwanda. How did it go? What did you do?
It was kind of an invitation. So it was more in cooperation together. Like, I saw a lot of talented people here. Even on the streets, when you go to a tank station, you see people who are educated, went to university, but without a job related to the business or studied it. So in that case, we have already rolled out these principles to multiple countries in Europe. And yeah, we're setting up this training program in Rwanda together.
Okay, and then you invite people from the streets, literally, to join? Or how do I have to see that?
Good question. Yes, I did, by the way. So I shared my phone number, or I request their phone number to send them the invitations when we have the development program. But I also work together with a local recruitment company,
okay,
Back Innovations. And they helped me out with sending the application out to the people who are just left the university.
And were the people enthusiastic? Were there many people who wanted to join?
There were like 600 applicants. We really set up a process to bring them down to only maximum 10 people.
And that process, was that kind of a learning program or something? And what were the important parts of that program?
I expected this already, yes, to have this number of applicants. So yeah, we set up a process at the beginning, like, okay, if you have those steps, we can easily filter out.
Yes.
Because I didn't have any knowledge of the universities here, so I don't know what is a good university. I really was reliable on the knowledge of BEC.
And then there was some kind of assessment program.
Correct.
Or something.
Correct. Yeah. Before joining the development program, you have to do an Excel assessment.
Yes.
And that was pretty hard. I'm not sure if Florent remembers it, but that's, so it was really a hard selection.
Yes, and then we're talking about really the professional skills that are needed to be a consultant at Kyrus.
Yes, so we did also a video interview, but besides that, the development program is also checking, okay, what are your consultancy skills?
Yes, okay, cool. Well, let's come back to that later, maybe.
For sure.
And Florent, when did you join the Kyrus team?
I joined Kyrus in June of last year.
Okay.
So it was for the DP, for the development program.
It was quite at the start of the company, wasn't it? Yes.
Yes.
And and did you get the phone number of Bosch at the tank station or some fuel station?
We didn't meet at the gas station. But, I just did the normal application.
Yes.
The post was up, so I was like, okay. I was doing software engineering at the time, and I was like, okay. I see like people are trying to build a team here, and the work seems kind of interesting, especially since we'll be working with multiple companies.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And what did you do? You wrote an email or?
No, it was just the application.
Oh, okay.
Details.
Yes.
So should I tell the story of how I almost got rejected?
Yes. Very interesting.
Of course you can.
Yeah. So basically, the recruitment company did some preliminary rejections based on, I don't know what they're based on, but Bas and Misha, I think they reviewed it. Okay, actually, like, let's give these people a shot. Let's give them the exam and see how they perform. So first I received an email, oh, you've been rejected, and then I'm like, okay, maybe, like, you know, would you mind, like, you know, taking this test? So that's how I ended up continuing, so, yeah.
Wow, and then you started working in a team which was completely new.
Yes.
How did it go? What did you do? What was important?
I think the DP helped, because we had many people already in the company, so we had the first, like, let's say, sight of the dynamic of working, the dynamics of working with each other. So we had Bas, Misha, and Maud. They were helping us, like, you know, learning along the way, and we did some fun events, you know, just getting to know each other, and of course, like, doing the learning part. So initially, that set the tone for what working together was going to look like, and I think it was a nice one.
So it kind of blended in.
Yes. Because these are people with, like, you know, 20 plus years of experience.
Yes.
And, you know, you're just starting out in a new career. So it helped to get, like, you know, a sense that you can actually ask questions, you can interact, and as long as you deliver your work, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and how big was the team at that moment? How many people?
Four people initially. So four people and Bas and, let's see. Active, let's say six or seven. So kind of small.
Okay.
I think two of them were remote. So, yeah.
And Bas, I've been to your office last Sunday.
Yeah.
Was the office already there when you started, or?
I received the key in the middle of the DP.
Okay.
So one of the activities was indeed to take a look to the office, how it looks like. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And since we talk about equality, I'm very curious what kind of values were important for you in establishing this company. What kind of thoughts do you have about it?
So we really, if we talk about equality, we really want to bring the responsibility, the ownership down to the one running the company. And the one who running the company is the consultants. So they're all responsible for the sales. They're all responsible for each other. They're all responsible for the HR, recruiting new people. It's not something that I can do as the owner. I don't call myself the boss. I don't call myself the manager. I'm also just a consultant. And together we're building up the team.
Okay, and in an organization, different parts are important, like you say, HR, governance, etc. Do you share those tasks among each other, like shared leadership or something?
Yeah, correct. So I think it was our first meeting together at the office. On that moment, I put a need on the table, like, hey guys, what's needed to run a company? And we get some different feedback, like, oh, you need a salesperson, you need all the roles we just described. And my question was to, like, okay, I'm not going to take them all. So who's taking what? And of course, I'm going to coach you. Of course, I'm going to help you. But yeah, you have to take the ownership.
So in fact, you were the initiator. You were the first one to invite people to join you in working. But then immediately you laid it out on the table. You said, we're going to build this together.
Correct. And it's not only the values of Kiers Rwanda, it is the values of the
Kiers.
Yeah, correct.
And Florian, when you took part of this, of the whole process of getting in, and did you realize that you were going to be part of such a company where there's not a boss above you taking care of all stuff, but you have to take responsibility for yourself?
I think so. And actually, I think it was a question in the interview. It's like, what role will you be picking up, like, you know, after joining the
company? Okay. So you were a little prepared.
Yeah, I was a little prepared. I was like, hey,
and what did you answer?
What did I answer? I don't remember.
I organized the parties, or... Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was something along those lines. Like, I can help setting up, because I think at the time, even, like, the legal stuff wasn't exactly finished yet. So, you know, anything along the way. I ended up doing the knowledge sharing part, and now IT. It's really, because we have multiple people, let's say people in finance, people in sales. it's really just an extension of your work. And it's a nice balance to just try something out of what you ordinarily do.
Yes.
Just a refresher, let's say.
Yeah, and I also hear you say that it changes along the way. So that you started with some taking some parts and then it changes and you're taking up other parts.
Yes. Because yeah. It helps you maybe broaden your skill set, also interact with other people. Because usually we are working on projects with different different people, and most of them are remote. So it's the only role you get to directly interact with other members of your team. So
It's a way of developing yourself.
Yes.
And Martina, you are founder of Kessels & Smith Rwanda. It's officially there.
It's officially here, yes.
I've also seen the office, which is very close to the Kiewer's office. You work with several organizations in Rwanda. And what do you see at those organizations when you look at the values that we're talking about, taking responsibility, shared leadership, ownership, etc.? What are your observations when you look at the other organizations?
Yeah, what I've learned from being here and working here is that it's not typical that those kind of values are really put to the forefront. At the same time, somehow I'm involved with several organizations that are like making that transition or want to make that transition. The big difference is that for Kiewer's Rwanda, it was there from the start. So as Florent shared, it was already in the interview process that expectation started to become clear bit by bit. And that Bas has been very upfront about setting those expectations, creating clarity around it, discussing it. And with a few other organizations that I work with, they want to make the transition. So from a more standard or hierarchical structure, moving towards a more equal structure.
And that's a different game, isn't it?
And that's a very different game, yes. I think there's still a lot to learn from how it's being done with Kiewer's. Even if it's halfway through the organization's history, to create that clarity, to be really open and clear about expectations and figuring it out together.
Yes.
But you also see that it's requires a lot more to move from one to the other.
Yeah, and interesting. It's very interesting that during our conversation, this week also, you were concluding that the theme of autonomous teams is. Somewhere like a red thread at this moment, it's important for organizations that you're working with at the moment.
Yes, yeah. And I don't know
so
if it's in my context.
Maybe it's in the weather or it's a virus.
It's the water that I'm swimming in. I don't know if it's the water where Rwanda is swimming in. But I'm seeing it around in different places. And I think, so on one hand, it's like other people coming in like having those values, wanting to establish something in that line. But I think it's also because of a need. So for some organizations, the need to have more shared leadership because they're like the job market or the job market is very small. So for people that really have the leadership skills to run a full organization, it's a very competitive market. So if it's not possible to bring someone in, then another solution is to have more shared leadership and more a self-managing team where you combine all the talents to run the organization.
So there might be an urgency this theme is so important. Florent, I'm curious, how do you look at the specific culture of Kiewer's in relation to the culture of the society of Rwanda or the schools that you were in or other organizations?
Mm-hmm. One thing is for sure, it's more dynamic, it's faster.
Faster?
Yeah, it's faster because then you don't have to go through every level of management to get anything done. And I don't know if you've been along long enough to realize that, but that's how most things around here work.
Yes.
I guess there's a sense of transparency and accountability because you get to know, okay, this person is responsible for this and this one is responsible for this. And as you mentioned, the ownership aspect of it is you come up, anything you're trying to do, at the end of the day, you're a member of the team. Not just someone on payroll, you're just actively contributing to the team.
So that's like you don't ask permission or something of a boss, but you do share, I think, what you're working on, what kind of initiatives that you want to do.
Yes. So you are an active contributor to the team, yes. Not just in terms of like executing the task, but also setting the goals, what you want to achieve. You know, and I think it helps, especially on the responsibility end, because it's a different kind of vibe when you are expected to just execute on the vision set.
Yes,
it's completely different from okay, I would like us to do also this, because that's where you're going to act as if you an owner, part of the. It's your goal as well.
So, yes. Yes.
I imagine you might.
Yeah, you can't hide.
Yeah. Because you want it to happen.
Yes.
So yeah.
And Bas, Florent talks about it's quicker, or there's much more speed in working like this way. Was that one of the ideas maybe behind working with those values, or what's the background?
It is. It's an outcome. So yes. Indeed, you want to move quickly, but it's more bringing the real ownership to the person, getting entrepreneurship in a full organization, except for the one who has to lead the organization. If you want to make decisions, take the ownership of that decision and take the responsibility of that decision. And then the outcome is that it's quicker.
And why is it important to take that responsibility?
Because then, in that case, you have a full picture. You have you want to move forward, and I'm going to challenge you. Okay, maybe there is some money needed. I never talk about budget. So in the beginning, some people came to me like, "Hey, boss, can I have budget for this activity for the recruiting process?" And I told them, "Okay, tell me what do you need? What is the cost?" Now they can share the cost, and then go, "Okay, what is the outcome? What can we?" Get for this money." So it's not that I'm going to make the decision like, "Hey, there's the money we're going to spend." It's more like, "Hey, I'll bring it back to the people who are responsible for this process."
You're more like a coach or
in that case,
a colleague.
Of course I give my ideas and I give my input, but at the end they are able to make the decisions by themselves.
To add on that, I think it's really good because when you're going to suggest something, you have reasonable justification. It's like, okay, this is how this is going to affect everyone, and this is why we should do it. And it's like doing a proposal for every other thing, so it's nice.
Yeah, I think what you very much hear is, and what I also see, the how you've phrased it, Florent, the difference between being on payroll or an active member of the team. And I think it closely aligns with what we always want to reach as KNS as well, is that the whole person comes in, and you can be your full self in a team and in an organization rather than being a passive subject to the work that you're doing or a passive subject to the boss. And I think that being more proactive and bringing yourself in also creates a completely different dynamic in the team and in the work and in also development and learning.
It's like a certain commitment that comes with it.
Yes.
Correct.
And
it's, for us, it's also a beautiful learning path as being a consultant, because we do need to help our customers at the end. So we are all consultants and not entrepreneurs. We are all helping our customers with the planning and budgeting process. So also in there, you have to learn how to take responsibility to help the customer.
So by organizing yourself, you learn very important skills that are important in serving the customer.
I'm curious, Florent, because how I've seen you, you seem to be very much in the right flow, that these values also align with your personal values. That's at least what I believe to see. Looking back, how different was it for you to move maybe from a more passive or on payroll kind of vibe towards this kind of team setting?
To be honest, it's freeing a bit because you can actually afford to put your best work out, because I'm part of the team that's deciding how we get to spend let's say 8 hours a day here. So as you can imagine, if you design the environment to suit you, it's gonna be a lot more conducive to your work than getting to an environment where you have to fit in. It's the dress code, the speaking, the timing, everything. So that flexibility, that aspect that, okay, I designed this environment to actually help me do my best work, I think it really helps. Also, even on the timing, I think something most companies out here do, it's like, okay, you get here at, let's say, 8 or 9, and you leave at 5 sharp, you know. For us, it's sometimes not the case, you know. You may have to leave at, like, let's say, 6, you know. But the nice thing is, like, you know, tomorrow morning you might have to sleep in a bit longer because, you know, you are doing, you know, something and then you have to recuperate, otherwise you're going to burn out. So it sounds like very simple. Maybe, I don't know how it works in Europe, but around here it's usually like, okay, just 3. And yeah, so you may see people like just straight up getting out of work at 5 because it's the time to get out, which, you know, is understandable. But at the same time, that expectation like doesn't take into account the advantage of flexibility. You know, if we can actually help you like recuperate, you know, then you'd actually be willing, you know, to finish the work when you have to finish it. So because
And it's also related to the person. I'm way better in the morning, so I prefer to start at 8 o'clock, and I stop at 5 o'clock because I'm tired, you know. So this related to the person, related to your talents. That's how we're gonna act. And
start at 6.
Bas, you were also part of Finext in back in the days in the Netherlands, and so you've experienced also this kind of organizational way of working in the Netherlands, and now you're building experience in Rwanda. Do you see any differences, or is it in the end the same basis?
It's the same basis. So for sure the culture is different. Yes. So but with implementing those values, it's the same. Even in the Netherlands, when people come from university or especially coming from an other organization where hierarchy is the basics, you have to change them. Yes. You have to change the thoughts. And here it's the same.
And the only way of doing that is to experience it.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and to coach. And not everyone will fit to this way of working. So we have to make those conclusions too. Yes. Like, okay, you may be a good consultant, you may be doing your work really good, though in the culture you don't fit.
When you look back at the last year, what were moments of truth, of the key moments in building this equal team culture?
Yeah, I already mentioned one is the first meeting to set up directly the goals. But another one is when we organized the second development program. There are a couple of things what were really important for me. So I received feedback from the team like, hey, Bas, in the first development program, we gave a contract after development program with the people we want to get out of the market. It's better to do already the way, all the way around, to start with a contract and then get them on board. So those feedback and even the ownership of organizing the development program was fully in a team who was responsible for the development program. So I just gave my input, but I was not in the lead. And that was, yeah, I was really happy with that.
So there was a next level because of the input of the team members.
Correct.
And also their experiences, of course.
Also, and also the so during the development program, the first one, we have 2 trainers over from Europe. What cost, of course, a lot of money. But besides that, the second one, it was organized and the training were given by the people who are already in the team. That helps them with the growth because giving and training is, yeah, bring you to the next level. Yes. And the second one is also we save some costs, but more important indeed, like people feeling more connected. Like, hey, you was there 6 months ago, so I want to make that step too.
Yes, it's like you become an ambassador even for the culture and the organization.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 months is a lot less intimidating than 20 years.
And what, Florent, were for you important moments in developing this team culture? Can you think of a certain...
I think for me, it's since the development program, because even just simple stuff as sharing lunch or, you know, the team building events, they were very intense.
Tell us about it. What do you do?
Basically, we form teams, you know, just a bunch of games. Let's say it's picking paper or, you know, did you do a running thing? I'm not sure. But yeah, we had to go to the escape room. Going there was a challenge, actually. It's like, you know, let's see which team can get there the fastest. So it's quite, you know, some distance away. And of course, we had said, like, you know, you can spend about this much, you know. And people got really competitive. We lost that one, but...
I like to win.
Yeah, it was nice to see. It was nice to see, like, you know, people, like, you know, actually brought out their competition and everything. So that was nice to see.
And why are these experiences important for building the culture?
Oh, because it sets the tone, you know. It's like at work, you work with people, you know, they teach you, like, they have more experience than you. But in other things, even, like, you know, in working together within the company, to build the company, you are actually also a member of the team. You can contribute. You have something to give. You know, it's different from, like, you are expected to just, like, you know, execute all this.
Yes.
You know, and I think Buzz also mentioned the development program.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we tried to, like, improve on the experience, because we had experienced the development program firsthand, and so we were in a better position to actually give feedback on what could be done to improve the whole experience as a whole. And I think as a result of it, we were able to attract, like, you know, really good candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we have another one due soon, so I expect we can do even better. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Martina, when I hear about these moments of truth, it's about redesigning stuff that was already there, like a learning program. It's about team activities that are important. Could that be also interventions for organizations that want to make a change to this kind of culture?
Yes, I think especially for those organizations who move from another system to this kind of system, it's very much about changing patterns. And it can be as specific as inviting others to lead in the development program, or to lead somewhere where typically it would be the manager or the boss to lead. So it's, I think for those organizations who want to make that change, it's very much at looking at, like, what are the patterns there and what can you do very practically to change those patterns, even if it's just for a few moments. So people really start to feel like, oh, wait, this is how we do it now. In combination with what we mentioned already, creating clarity about what you're actually trying to achieve.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us is the full organization, not even, by the way, the full Kiros organization, but EPM, what is a part of the Kiros organization, is work on this way of working. But I even believe that if you are only a team in an organization, you can change this culture.
Within the team.
Within the team.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then it doesn't matter if the organization is a hierarchical organization, you can change the team in this way.
Correct.
With this kind of steps.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Talking about steps, Bas, what are the next steps?
The biggest next step is that I'm going to leave the country.
Oh.
So, and to be honest, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to it on a personal level, because I love the way of living here in Rwanda. I like the people around me, but I do look forward.
You like the weather?
I love the weather. I love the weather. But I think the team is ready to make the next step, to take the ownership, to take the responsibility, to bring Kiros Rwanda to the next level. And for sure, I will coach them from the Netherlands, but it's way different that if you're in a room or you're on a virtual connection. But yeah, I do believe they're going to make the next step.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's quite a change, Florent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I expect it to be quite substantial.
Yes.
But I think it's something we have been building towards.
Yes.
So, yeah. I don't think it's going to be, it could be hard very much, but not
ready for the next step.
Yeah.
Yes. Bas, Florent and Martine, thank you very much for sharing your experiences on how to build a team culture based on equality. And thank you for being at this podcast.
Thank you. HRD.
Kessels and Smith Broadcasting. Every story needs a cast.